I invite you to stand now as you're able for the hearing of this morning's gospel lesson, which is the Annunciation to Mary, taken from the Gospel according to Luke. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But Mary was much perplexed by his words and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be holy. He will be called the Son of God. And now your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month for her who was said to be barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." Then Mary said, "Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." And then the angel departed from her. This is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. And let us pray. O holy God, we thank you for the gift of this day and for your holy word. And I ask now, O Lord, that the thoughts of our minds, the meditation of our hearts, but especially, O Lord, the words of my mouth, would be acceptable to you and continue to bring glory to your holy name. You who are our rock and our redeemer, our savior and our friend. Amen. Our scripture lessons for this morning, for the last Sunday of our Advent season, all center around Mary. We have the Annunciation that I just read, the announcement of Gabriel to the young woman Mary. We have her Magnificat, the song of praise that she sang to God after she finally probably understood, at least in part, what it might mean to be the mother of the Christ child. These scriptures are so familiar to us that sometimes we miss the surprise in them, or we miss the significance for not only for Mary and for Joseph and for the first century, but the significance for us today of Mary's faithfulness, of the story of Mary being called to be the very mother of God. As many of you know, we've been studying Adam Hamilton's book, Not a Silent Night, Mary Looks Back to Bethlehem. And in his chapter about Mary, he reminds us about this young woman. And Hamilton writes, "Mary is 13 or 14 years old, and she's living in her hometown, the tiny village of Nazareth. Nazareth was so insignificant that it didn't even show up on first century maps. In that village, Mary was on the lowest rung of Jewish society. She was a peasant girl, not a citizen of Rome, not of any importance in and among her own people. It was to this girl that the angel Gabriel appeared, announcing that she would give birth to the long-awaited messianic king." Hamilton goes on to ask, "Why did God choose Mary? Because God looks with favor on the lowly. He lifts them up, blessing the hungry while scattering the proud, bringing down the powerful and sending the rich away empty. Mary believed that God chose her precisely because she was not of noble birth. Her qualifications were that she was humble, she had a heart for God, and she would be willing to offer herself wholly to God." Regardless of who Mary was or why God had chosen her, there's many things that we can ponder about this young woman. For truly, she was a young woman about the age to be married. You know, she was engaged to Joseph. And she, as a young woman, gets this unexpected message from an angel. It changes her whole life. And you have to wonder if that life-changing moment didn't offer some questions for Mary about what was really going on. You have to wonder if she considered what the cost, what the risk would be to saying yes to God. You have to wonder if she was afraid of what the consequences would be for an unwed mother to find herself pregnant. The cost could be being stoned for adultery. You have to wonder if she ever considered if all of her dreams would be shattered, the dreams that she had of a life with Joseph. The message of that angel Gabriel, that moment that he broke into her life, turned her world upside down and turned our world upside down as well. The dreams that Mary had were no longer her dreams. She said yes to God's dream. Mark Hall, the lead singer and author of many of the songs that Casting Crowns sings, has a song entitled Let Me Dream For You. And I'd like to share one of the verses from that song this morning. And it's as if God is speaking. And God says, "Hey Mary, I've heard you've been dreaming, making plans for your big wedding day. You and Joseph are going to be the picture-perfect family, maybe a couple of kids down the road. But I've been thinking, even before time began, I had a picture-perfect plan of how to save this broken world through the life of just one man. I'm going to send my only son, and Mary, you're the one. You were right about one thing. You're going to have that family, and you're going to raise a king. So come on, let me dream for you. I am strong when you are weak, and I'll carry you. So let go of the plan, be caught by my hand. I'll show you what I can do when I dream for you. I have a dream for you." God had a dream for Mary, and it probably wasn't the dream that she had. For it's true that God's dreams are not always our dreams. God's plans are not always our plans, and God's ways are seldom our ways. There's a humorous little statement that some people say, if you want to make God laugh, tell God your plans. If you want to make God laugh, tell God your plans. Or this quote that's been attributed to John Lennon, "Life is what happens when you're busy making other plans. God is what happens sometimes when we're busy making other plans. Unexpected circumstances break into our lives and turn our world upside down. Unexpected circumstances change how it is that we think life should go. God sometimes changes our own agenda." There's three things that we can learn from Mary's story this morning. And the first is that saying yes to God always carries a risk. Saying yes to God always carries a risk. Saying yes to God makes you vulnerable to life and things that life can throw your way. Mary, even though she was chosen and favored by God, still had risks that she faced. Again, quoting from Hamilton, "The angel Gabriel announced that Mary was highly favored and full of grace. She was blessed among all women. You would think that if you were blessed by God in this way, things would be easier. Instead, they got harder, and they ended with the cross. For Mary, the Annunciation brought with it adversity, hardship, and fear, but it also brought the greatest joy she could ever imagine, and to this day, she continues to be honored for her role in God's saving plans." Mary ran the risk of losing Joseph. She ran the risk of being disgraced in her community. She ran the risk of childbirth. She knew the perils and the hardship of women in her day in giving birth. She wasn't exempt from the census that required her and Joseph to travel 10 days to end up in Bethlehem. She wasn't spared the pain and the heartbreak of being a young parent. And she definitely wasn't spared the anxiety and the pain of losing her child Jesus on the cross. Saying yes to God opened Mary up to all kinds of risks and made her vulnerable, just as any one of us is vulnerable. But Mary's yes to Jesus, yes to God, yes to carrying Jesus, meant that she had faith that God would care for her, that God would take care of her, that God would be there with her. When unexpected circumstances come into our lives, do we have that same kind of faith? Do we trust that God is with us? Do we trust that God will care for us? Are we willing to say yes to God, knowing that there are some perils and some hardships, some risks, that we might no longer be in control of our own lives as if we ever were? When we say yes to God, it doesn't mean that the difficulties that come our way will cease. But how we respond to the unexpected circumstances of our lives is where our faith is tested. Can we say yes to God, knowing that difficult things, heartbreak, shattered dreams will still happen in our own lives, but that God is always there and that God is always faithful, especially in the unforeseen circumstances that shake our worlds? The second thing we can learn from Mary's story is the need for community. In Luke's gospel, we're told that as soon as the angel Gabriel left, probably the next morning, I would guess, that Mary went with haste to the Judean hill country where she entered the home of Zechariah and her cousin Elizabeth. Did she go before she even told Joseph about Gabriel's message? Did she go before she shared that news with her parents? Did she go there so that she might see for herself if what Gabriel said was true, that Elizabeth truly was with child? Did she go there seeking advice and support? Did she go there afraid and needing the comfort of a loved one? We don't know for sure why Mary made that trek to see Elizabeth, but we do know that she stayed there 3 months with her cousin. She stayed there 3 months, and during that time, it's when she sings that song of praise, the Magnificat, that we shared this morning. It's in that time of having the support of her cousin Elizabeth that perhaps she finally came to terms with the implications of Gabriel's message. What was it really going to mean that she would be pregnant with God's son? She sings a song of praise. It's a time of worship. She sings an aria of freedom. She talks about the reversals when God will break into the world, that God lifted her up, that God will bring down the proud, that God will fill the hungry, that God will redeem Israel, and it won't be a time of judgment, but a time of mercy. When Christ comes, when the Messiah is born, God will turn the world upside down. Elizabeth helped Mary to give voice to what God was doing in her life as she carried the Christ child. The same is true for each of us. When unforeseen circumstances break into our lives, where do we go for support and community? Who do we reach out to? We know that God is always there for us, but there are others in our lives too that could support us, others who will face the trials and the risks with us and be vulnerable with us. Mary had God, but Mary too had Joseph. Joseph had been tempted to forget the whole thing until he had his own angelic message. But Joseph became vulnerable with Mary and traveled with her and was her care and her support during the time of her pregnancy and as young parents. When things fall into our lives that we don't see coming, who do we reach out to? My hope is that first we would reach out to God and then to the community of the faithful that worships together. But we find others who will travel that journey with us for support, for love and care, who will help us to give voice to our faith as well. The third thing that we find in Mary's story is not only that she trusted God, but she probably believed Gabriel's message that there is nothing that's impossible with God. Mary asks, "How can this be, for I'm only a virgin?" And Gabriel says that with God, God can do all things. Nothing is impossible. In our little minds, we can't even comprehend how the Holy Spirit could come upon Mary so that she would be with child. We can't comprehend how Christ, the baby born in Bethlehem, could be 100% human and 100% divine. It doesn't make sense to us. It's only possible with God. There's so much in our lives that we can't do, but that God can do. There's so much in our lives that only God can do. And we need to believe that when we need to live that. When unforeseen circumstances shape our lives, we need to believe that God can change those circumstances. God can be there with us, that all things truly are possible with God. Things that we can't do ourselves, God can do for us. Only God could give his only son out of such great love. None of us would be willing, I'm sure, to sacrifice our only child. Mary is said to be full of grace, full of grace. For grace is that gift that God gives to us. Grace is that humility that helps us to recognize that we're not in control, but that God is. Grace is God's gift to us, given to us in the Christ child. Again, one last reading from Hamilton. Grace is God's kindness, his love, his care, his work on our behalf, his blessings, his gifts, his goodness, his forgiveness, and his salvation. But it is more than that. It's all these things when they are undeserved, when they are pure gift. Further, grace has the power to change our lives. Grace is at the center of what God was doing in Christmas. God was gracious to Mary. She was full of grace because God had chosen her even though she didn't deserve it. Yet God said, I want to give to you, I want to bless you, I want to give you the honor of bearing the Christ child. In the biblical account of Christmas, we have this wonderful picture of God's graciousness. Mary, full of grace, will give life to the one who is the very embodiment of grace. The child to be born of Mary was grace incarnate. His life would be a message of grace. He would demonstrate grace to sinners, tax collectors, and prostitutes. These people had been taught that they had no place in the synagogue and that God's judgment and wrath was upon them. Jesus devoted his life to showing them and us that God's love, mercy, and kindness are offered to us all. He showed us grace. And grace has power. When you give kindness, compassion, goodness, and love to someone who does not deserve it, that graceful act has the power to change hearts, to heal broken relationships, and reconcile people and even nations. Grace changes the one who receives it, and it also changes the one who gives it. Christmas is about God's grace, the kindness, love, forgiveness, and blessings being given to us, though we do not deserve them. Jesus came to show God's grace to humankind. And so during the season of Christmas, as we celebrate the hope of resurrection, the gift of salvation and the cross, and the coming of the one who taught us how to live, we celebrate too that gift of grace. Grace that only God can give. Meister Eckhart, the medieval mystic, said this about Christmas. What good is it to me if this eternal birth of the divine Son takes place unceasingly, but does not take place in me? And what good is it to me if Mary is full of grace, if I am not also full of grace? What difference does it make if Mary is full of grace, if I am not also filled with grace? Grace is possible only through God's care, and it is God's gift, and it's a gift meant to be shared. Mary, full of grace, carried the Christ child, and grace was born for all of us that we might live grace-filled lives as well. I doubt that Mary ever completely understood what it was that God was doing when she became the mother of Christ. I doubt that even as she sang the Magnificat, that she had a full understanding of what God was about to do as God entered as Christ into the world. But I do know that God said yes to God, not counting the risks, but understanding that God would be with her. That she sought out community, knowing that she needed the care and the support of others. And even as she heard this good news, in her fears, she trusted that with God, all things truly are possible. In our own lives, when unforeseen circumstances shake our world, can we say yes to God? Can we seek out the support of community? And can we trust that with God, all things are possible? May it be so in our lives, and may we, like Mary, say, let it be done as your word. Amen.